Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. At the top of the show, we played Kelly Rowland, Laid on Me.
Yes. Such a demure and subtle Southern belle that she is.
Yeah. What a way to announce that we're here for another week, Dave.
Laid on Me. At least it's not that song where she's talking about, you know, making love on the dance floor, which we've done before. I mean, which we've played before. Let's try to get that straight. But look, Jade, it's that time of the year now. Mm-hmm. Kris Kringle's is happening at workplaces.
Mm-hmm. And it must be involved. A new experience for you because you're like in a proper, proper workplace for the first time, right?
Proper, proper. Makes it sound like I've been working fast food for the last 10 years.
But you know, it's a bit different when you're in an office environment, isn't it?
It is. And I have to say, even though I was working in a similar-ish office environment in the past, mm-hmm. it was in a call center. We never did Kris Kringle's or anything like that. So now, this year, it's going to be my first time taking part. Mm-hmm. I was very, very shocked to hear that you're not doing it, Jade.
No, our office, I don't know.
And you've got such a nice, you know, close-knit team. Like, y'all actually hang out.
I know. I mean, people are always very surprised, but we're actually quite lazy in terms of, like, making sure we do those kinds of things. Like, but, I'm hopeless at Kris Kringle's, so I don't go for them at all.
I've already started thinking about what I'm going to get the person that I've, been assigned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've only been
Like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've only been at this job for a month and I'm already thinking of this person. You know, I invest a lot of thought when I'm getting gifts for people. You know, I like to do a little bit of research, see what type of things they like.
Are you skulking around her desk? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm a bit more subtle than that. I make sure she's out at lunch first before I wander over in full army fatigue and, you know, hiding under a bush. No, I mean, Jade, it's very easy to read people if you don't really know them. Yeah. And you might back me up on this because the more you know about someone, the more you know about what they don't like.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you're relatively new to the place, you can only go by your first impressions of someone. And sometimes that's really good enough for Kris Kringle.
Yeah, it is. Don't you feel like, Dave, Kris Kringle is always, you're always set up for disappointment. It's like, you know, if you go ahead and put in a lot of effort, then someone, you know, the person that gets you buys you a pair of socks. You know, that kind of, I feel like I've had too many of those experiences.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it's about giving. It's a season for giving. Mm-hmm. And I take pride in picking a good gift for someone. So I might even wander up to them later, and depending on their response, obviously, if they really love it, I might wander up to them and go, yeah, it was me, baby.
Yeah, you want
I want credit.
You say that it's about pop artist booth character.
Pop artist booth character.
Forget what you've heard.
I do listen to Strummy La La music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave.
How spectacular was that? We are not having our music segment just yet, but it is close enough to talking about music.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a topic that's very close to my heart, Jade. Look, yep. I'm going to review a website. I wouldn't say review because that implies I'm going to put a substantial amount of thought into it.
But Dave, you know, earlier you were just saying, that I'm not so sure about it. My problem with this, you know, Stan Wars, you know, I love the concept of it, but I don't get the references. It's all about pop music.
It is about pop music and in particular stands of female pop stars.
Exactly.
So you got to know your divas. You got to have at least some sort of fave situation happening, whether it's Madonna, Lady Gaga, Adele, I guess we can include her, seeing as she's, you know, snatching trophies these days.
Well, see, and the thing is, Dave, as surprising as this may seem, I don't spend all of my time, you know, Googling.
And to be honest,
music artists.
I know that you love music, but even though you're really passionate about the bands that you are, like Death Cab for Cutie, even though you really love Bentley, you're not the stanning personality. It is very intense. You know, let me just explain what stanning is. A stan is basically an overzealous or over-dedicated fan of a particular celebrity. Now, we're not talking about, oh, you know, I'll listen to their music from, you know, dusk till dawn. We're talking next level material here, Jade. A stan will literally spend all day trawling the internet for, you know, the latest news and videos of their faves.
Any gifts.
They need to be in the know.
Constantly trying to get some sort of retweet out of their favorite celebrity.
You are practically describing me right now, aren't you?
Yeah.
No. Really, the stans go hard for their faves. And, you know, they will defend their faves in the comment section of any kind of news website or blog. They will hunt down these trolls and they will attack.
I think we need stans. They're keeping the trolls at bay,
and,
right?
You know, I think stans play a very important part of internet culture because, yes, it's very intense and, yes, it does get extremely abusive and very petty. But, you know, you have to understand this is a new breed of entertainment. Like, you have to be able to look at it, see how pressed, see how angry these people are over the smallest things and just laugh.
Well, Dave, it's interesting, like, when you're talking about stans, it's interesting that you say that because I can actually relate that in some way to my little world. There are, you know, of course, things like X-Files, but for the purposes of this, even something as simple as my football team. When I go onto my football team's website, there's always these people on there. They know absolutely everything about it to the point where they feel like they could coach the team better than the coach. You know, they know the players, they know who should be picked and who shouldn't, and, you know, who's the right fit for a team and who they should be trying to go after during trade week. And
it is exactly the same situation with Stan Wars. You know, Jade, this is the kind of behavior that happens. Stans of, you know, their favorite female pop artists, they feel like they run their career. You've heard me talk like that before, you know. I'm constantly trying to map out Kelly Rowland's career.
You just did a big rant about Kelly Rowland's career.
You know, off air, we were just talking and it just slips out. It just happened. You know, maybe she did this promo then. Maybe she put that out earlier. Maybe if she didn't do this
you
and that.
You occasionally get a bit like that about Brandy too.
Oh, I'm very, very passionate about Brandy. I would consider myself to be a Brandy stan. So I feel like Stan Wars, this website, has a place for me somewhat. So basically, this website is dedicated to a group of, you know, dedicated stans that go to war up on each other's faces, you know. It's extremely shady. It's hilarious. And, you know, I have to say, stans of female pop stars are the most deluded kind there are. I mean, you think, you know, I know that AFL fans are at least somewhat grounded in terms of quoting statistical information. They don't make stuff up like that. I mean, I've seen Rihanna stans go crazy. It's like, oh, she sold 10 million in a week. Girl, no, that did not happen. Stop making this up. You know, stans, especially Rihanna stans, they're the worst.
Yeah.
They are their own source. And that's what's really funny. The, you know, everything is, there's this air of delusion about it. And, you know, they state everything as fact and it's hilarious. But, the biggest stan groups that you need to know about, Jade, I've mentioned some of them before already. Beyoncé, crazy stans. Don't even try to come for Beyoncé's weave.
But it's funny because I would think that Beyoncé, like, to me, like, the person that is worth standing over is the person that you can actually get access to. Like, someone like Kelly Rowland, for example,
When you say get access, do you mean like someone who actually participates in social media?
Yeah, that kind of. And I don't get that from Beyonce. I think Beyonce would be so.
She is very closed off. She is. And the funny thing is that Beyonce has mentioned in recent times, in you know, random morsels of her interview conversations, that she occasionally goes on websites and, you know, looks on the internet at what's going on. So Beyonce is kind of like God. She's all knowing. Yep. Like, she doesn't have to answer prayers. She doesn't have to perform miracles on these fan forums. But she knows what's going on. She has a sense.
And that's what the stans are clinging on to, the hope that they've read, that she gets to read their post of any post.
Exactly. That's what the stans are going so hard for every single time. Lady Gaga, crazy stans, as you know. Mm-hmm. Lady Gaga's Little Monsters, obsessed. Mm-hmm. Madonna has some crazy stans too. Mm-hmm. You know, people sometimes forget about Madonna, but her fans are always there. Britney, Christina Aguilera, Katy Perry. And Nicki Minaj is another example of someone who's relatively new but has a very strong following.
Yep.
But, I mean, all the female pop artists I've named so far have had, you know, a certain number of hits in recent times. But, you know, it's not always limited to the hit makers. Sometimes we get epic flops like Ashanti, who has some crazy stans too. Lil' Kim, Keri Hilson, even Brandy. I mean, I love me some Brandy, but...
She hasn't had a hit in a long time.
No. I've seen children grow in the time that it's taken Brandy to do something. So she needs help. She needs some assistance, some guidance. I'm here for Brandy because you know what stans are like. You know, we're happy to map out your career for you. We're happy to discuss strategic planning.
Dave will pull out his flow chart.
I will pull out a flow chart. I will do a demonstration. I will do, you know, comparisons with Monica's career just to keep it real for Brandy.
You say that it's about pop artist, book character.
Pop artist, book character. Forget what you've heard. I do listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, that boy James has tweeted in and he says the Riri Navy will be coming for you now, Dave.
I don't care. I'm speaking the truth about Rihanna stans. And, you know, a hand on the Bible of Michelle Williams. It is the truth. I will stand on this pulpit and preach.
Dave, should we start the call Jade and Dave Michelle Williams campaign now or later?
Look, I know Joy has been particularly vocal about getting certain pop stars to appear on our station. You know, we might have done one viral video to get one certain Australian pop music legend that we might have just advertised her DVD just seconds ago. We might have done that as a station, but I don't think anyone here will think of doing one to get Michelle Williams.
Except us.
I think we can claim that as a Different Strokes project.
Yes.
We're going to work very hard, you and I, Jay, to get...
And any stroker out there would know that Michelle Williams is effectively part of our show.
She is the most important child of destiny, as far as we're concerned.
Yeah.
I know we play more Beyonce. I know we play lots of Kelly Rowland.
Yeah, you've planned out Kelly Rowland's career.
I know that, and I know that for sure. But, you know, there's real love between you and me for Michelle Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a single out in the UK right now, and I know that it's going to come out next year sometime because the time, you know, time difference, that's how it works.
Yeah, it's got to send it over on the boats and stuff.
Yeah, it takes forever. You know, you order things from Amazon. So Michelle is going to be releasing a single early next year. So we're going to start campaigning to get her on Joy, specifically on Different Strokes.
Yeah, if she's not on Different Strokes, that would be heartbreak for us, wouldn't it?
It would just kill me. Like, I would just lay down on the floor and that's it. Just pay your respects.
Relationship over, Michelle Williams.
Look, Jade, I mean, speaking of stands before, when was the last time somebody stand for the Black Keys?
I'm sure someone stands for the Black Keys, Dave. They did win a Grammy Award last year.
That's everything, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. And it is actually their seventh album that they've released called El Camino. And it was produced by Danger Mouse, Dave.
Okay, so there's definitely some sort of hipster love happening for...
I thought you would appreciate that kind of, you know, blending coming on. But when you listen to this album, Dave, it is so hopelessly retro rock and roll.
Okay.
Not that I don't mean that in a, you know, a derogatory way at all. It's completely fine. to the point where I don't think it would be out of place if there was a movie and the soundtrack that was set in the 70s and there was some soundtrack, this, like, songs off this album could be on that soundtrack.
Do you think that El Camino is a concept album? Because, you know, generally when you go through an album and you pick out a very strong theme like that, sometimes it's, you know, very much deliberate.
I don't know. I think it might be a bit more like, let's pay our respects to those who've gone before us.
Oh, God. Yeah. A bit morbid, yes.
But
it's a homage to, what, 80s, 70s music?
It's really 70s in feel. And when I was reading some reviews of it, Dave, I have to read you some of the words used to associate with it. And then when you hear the songs, I want your reaction to that. Mm. Because it was quite funny to read some of the reviews where they've said things like that the riffs are glam nasty. That the there's a frivolous and fun mood about it. It's unabashedly corny. Because to me, that's something that you might say about a fun, upbeat pop release.
It's that not, sounds like something you would say about like a Gwen Stefani album, you know, glam nasty.
Yeah. And so yeah. I found it quite interesting in reading those reviews that they were describing the music that I was listening to.
Did you have a moment of sort of identity crisis? Well, what am I listening to right here?
Well, see, there's so like, you know, there's all of these kind of really retro sounding guitar noise, you know, guitar noise, things that you would expect to hear from someone like, I mean, I guess maybe ZZ Top or something like that. And there's some good, you know, tracks on there that really demonstrate that, something like Gold on the Ceiling, A Little Black Submarines and Run Right Back. They're just like all of these really kind of retro guitar sounds, right? But, I mean, there is some kind of that melancholy feel to it, and which I find hilarious that they're saying it's frivolous and fun.
Maybe the reviewers are being a little superficial. Maybe they haven't spent enough time with the album to get that there's different levels of it, there are different tones to the music. And because I love upbeat sounding music that's actually quite sad.
Yeah.
I love that. You know, I like having that depth in music. It colours the experience so much more. That's why I love dance ballads, you know, 4-to-the-4 beats, and you know, like a big breakup song or something of that nature.
Yeah.
I'm very drawn to music like that. So it's interesting that the reviewers have used those words. And, you know, have you actually been a Black Keys fan, or is this sort of like a gradual growing on you?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a big Black Keys fan at all. You know, I can appreciate their music, but I'm not like, you know.
But did this album do it for you?
Well, I enjoyed it. I liked the album. They do have, you know, some good songs that are quite upbeat, and it's done in a really interesting way.
Culture, the attitudes and behaviour characteristic of a particular social group.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, showrooming?
Showrooming. We'll get to explaining that in a sec. But basically, the reason why I decided to talk about this for our culture segment is because lately I've actually taken up reading a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
By saying that, I am currently reading a semi-picture book by RuPaul. And a few months ago, I completed Danny Minogue's autobiography.
And you read Tina Fey's book as well.
And I read... burn down the library. I mean, come on. This is an achievement.
Yeah.
You know, the last time I went through a reading phase, Jade, it was with a novel. That novel wasn't even the size of the New King James. Like, it wasn't even that big. Mm-hmm. It took me 2 years. And basically, the only times I had a minute to read that novel was on holidays. Mm-hmm. So it lasted, you know, the gap of one holiday to, you know, the next
holiday.
It was crazy. So I'm more determined now to actually get a move on with books, focus, and just deliver. So there's actually a very good reason why I've started reading a little bit more. And we're talking physical books here, you know. Yeah. I don't do Kindle or anything like that because I don't have the device.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you do, Jade, so you're a bit more technologically advanced.
Yeah.
But the reason why I'm reading more these days is because their books are cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Something has happened. A couple of discount bookstores are sprouting up here and there over the last few months, and things are going for $5.
Yep.
that is what is driving the situation here, Jade. So I wanted to talk about how basically consumers and how, you know, book buyers have changed their attitudes towards bookstores in the last few years.
Let me tell you, Dave, someone is not like, and you know, I'm a bit of a gadget fiend, if you will. So, you know, I'm not by any stretch of the imagination a regular consumer. But to me, like a bookstore is never going to compete with the fact that I can sit in my house and download something to my device and have the book there right that minute.
And that is the same with a lot of media and a lot of entertainment these days. You know, we're talking about movies, TV shows, music, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's so instantaneous. It's a hassle. I mean, some days I will sit in my room and go, I cannot believe I'm actually going to get up, get dressed and head out the door just to buy a CD. But I'm that type of person who's passionate about buying physical copies of albums and such. So, and I know that there are book lovers out there that will still go and buy the book. But it's interesting how, you know, how we approach the bookstore these days. I notice, Jade, a lot of people, and this is where I start defining showrooming, so to speak. It's not a term I coined. I'm not going to take credit for that.
Yeah.
I take credit for a lot of things in life, but not...
Well, this show takes credit for a lot of things.
I think you and I, yeah, we take credit for everything. We take credit for Adam and Eve, creation, but not the term showrooming. I read an article sometime this week that basically pointed out something I have observed on the down low, but I haven't really put two and two together about. When you go to a bookstore next time, just have a look and see how many people you see just browsing. And you might do this yourself. We're talking browsing, picking up books, secretly saving the book titles in your smartphones, or, you know, straight away logging on to the internet on your phone and already looking for a discount online. They pick up the books. They don't actually buy the books. They leave the store and then get it later online for a discounted rate.
Is this any different, Dave, than the culture that was around, you know, when those bigger chain bookstores were around, where they started having like their little, you know, the couches and the coffee shops inside the bookstores, where people would just go and pick up the book and read it and then put it back?
No, but at the end of the day...
At least they're going home and buying the book.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But, you know, it's very disheartening from a book shopkeeper's perspective. I mean, come on. If you've got a coffee table there and people are sitting down reading the book, at least you know they paid for that coffee that you made. So, you know, you're collecting some coins there. Nobody's collecting any coins if somebody just walks into your store, looks, you know, browses and then goes home. This is very staggering for me because I, as a big music lover myself, I don't really go in stores to see what's happening in music because with music, you can sample it online. You can go on iTunes or whatnot and listen to snippets. And because my ears are to the ground a lot with music, I don't need to walk in store to know what's there. I actually make deliberate trips to store because I know it's getting stocked that day. So that's the type of person I am. But with books though, Jade, is there a way you could really try before you buy in the digital world?
Well, yeah, there. I mean, this is, I find it quite fascinating because a lot of the online stores do have, you can read like a chapter or two, you can sample a chapter online. Okay. So to me, like the idea of, for me, like a gadget really is, or any kind of device is about making your life easier, right? Like, you know, the fact that you can just sit there and go, yep, here's my book. Let me start. I feel like reading this book. You know, let me
start
reading.
But do you have a particular sentiment towards, you know, going in store and purchasing a physical book?
No, I can tell you that I actually read more now.
That it's more convenient on the Kindle and such.
Yeah. Than I ever had before.
And I think it's interesting because a lot of people say, oh, the book is dead and all that. But the essence of reading, I think, has actually been encouraged with technology and everything. I feel like, and now with discount books, I know it's awful that, you know, books are going so cheap when it costs quite a lot to print. And I'm, you know, picking them up for $5. But, hey, I'm reading. I'm getting schooled. I'm getting educated.
Yeah.
On the life and things of Danny Minogue.
Well, you know,
money can't buy this value.
I got, you know, a stack of, on my e-reader, I got a stack of books that are, you know, considered the quote unquote classics for free. So, you know, I can now go back and read books that I wouldn't have ever read that I had wanted to read, you know, because obviously they give you a background on, you know, where literature has come from. But, you know, there is expansion, and I think like we're kind of in an interesting position at the moment with music and TV and books and all of the gadgets that we have, because we're at the very start of the internet and what it will do, you know, to our culture. So it, when, you know, in centuries or whatever away from now, when they look back on this time, it is, you know, what happens now is it's still being all worked out. It hasn't settled yet.
It is. And it is a bit sad for bookkeepers as well, who obviously this is their business, and to have their bookstore treated as showrooms. Move your store online. That's a good idea. But, you know, there's a certain sentiment to it. I think we're very fortunate to be in a generation that has pretty much the best of both worlds. You know, we were raised to go to library, you know, in primary school. Mm-hmm. There were trips to library, the school library. You know, everyone had to borrow a book. It was a trip. It was an event. It was a moment.
Let me tell you, Dave, I just finished my master's earlier this year. I did the whole master's degree without going into our library once because everything was available online.
Yes, Jade. Yes. Well done, you. Well done.
I'm saying it's the future, that's all.
It is the future, but I have to say, Jade, there is something to be said about the sentiment and the practice of going somewhere.
You just like sniffing the pages.
Okay, all right. It's come to this. I have been called out. For those of you who don't know, I do like sniffing everything I read, so that includes CD booklets, $5 books.
Magazines of any kind.
Magazines, pamphlets.
Yeah.
I will sniff it. And I do not like the way the print industry is going because I cannot sniff an e-reader. Do something about this.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.